name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hopefully you noticed in the June and July newsletters for this congregation, I included some information about the Ablaze movement in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, what is this Ablaze movement? Well, simply put, that word ablaze is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, who ignites our hearts with the good news of Jesus Christ. And of course, that good news of Jesus Christ moves us to share that same good news with others. Now, the Ablaze movement has the goal that the members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod would reach 100 million people with the gospel of Jesus. And you'll be hearing more about the Ablaze movement in the coming months. For now, let's just examine our gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. When we look at this, we see that Jesus wants his fellow Jews to hear the good news that he is their promised Messiah, that he has come to save them from their sins and give them eternal life with God that will never end. But the people need to hear Jesus' message if they are to believe in him. So what does Jesus do? He sends out his 12 apostles. Now, he gives them power to heal and to cast out demons. These special skills he gave them at that time were his way of showing others that they were his specially chosen apostles and that they had been sent out by the very Son of God himself. But even more than that, Jesus told them to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. However, the 12 apostles were not the only people that Jesus sent out to be his witnesses. If they were, I don't think we'd be here today. Think about it. Only 12 guys, and one of them ends up betraying Jesus. They couldn't have gotten a whole lot done by themselves. And if no one did it after they were dead, that would have been the end of the church. So obviously, Jesus sent out many more people, didn't he? In fact, after Jesus' ascension, Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit moved many Christians to speak God's word, and the result was that more and more and more people came to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For example, in our reading from Acts, we heard about the persecution against the Christians in Jerusalem that took place after Stephen was stoned to death. Now, why was this guy named Stephen stoned to death? What crime had he committed? His crime was telling other people about Jesus. Now, the text says that only the apostles remained in Jerusalem during this persecution, but all the other Christians, and most of them were ordinary lay people like you, all the others were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, I want you to listen to what the text says that these people did as they were being scattered away from their homes. It says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." Now, I know what you might be thinking at this point. Pastor, are you saying that Jesus wants to send me out to speak his word to others? Well, my answer is simply, yes. But then you might say, but Pastor, there's two good reasons why I can't do that. First of all, I'm so unworthy. I'm too sinful to be a witness for Jesus. And secondly, I don't know that much about the Bible, so I wouldn't make a very good witness. You know, those are two common excuses people give for not being a witness. One, I'm too sinful. And two, I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, as for being too sinful, I'll deal with that first excuse towards the end of the sermon. However, what about that second excuse? You know, the idea that you don't know enough about the Bible? Well, first of all, please know, you don't have to be a Bible scholar or have a seminary degree to be a witness for Jesus. In fact, I'd encourage you just to read through Martin Luther's Small Catechism, not only to strengthen your own faith, but because that would give you a good foundation to share the basics of the faith with someone else. And during my children's sermon, I mentioned tracts like this. We have many others out there. This is something you can just keep with you on your person, and when God opens up an opportunity to be a witness, you can just take that person through this and give them the basics of the faith. So, you can do it. However, I do want to add that I agree with you that many lay people could know more about the Bible than they do. But you know, that's one of the main reasons that I'm here. If you recall, in our reading from 1 Timothy, we heard the Apostle Paul say something to a young pastor named Timothy. And these words apply to all pastors of all times and places. Let's listen to these words again. Paul said to this pastor, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Be diligent in these matters. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." You see, one of the reasons God commands that certain Christian men be trained as pastors is so that they can strengthen the faith of God's people by preaching and teaching His Word to them. So, if you don't know as much about the Bible as you'd like, then take advantage of all the ways that I would love to share God's Word with you and instruct you. So not only should you make a point of attending services on a regular basis where I can preach God's Word to you, but in addition, God would also have you make it a priority to come to the Bible classes I offer, because there I can teach God's Word to you in detail. In fact, in our recent newsletter article, I challenged every adult who comes to a Sunday service to consider staying for adult Bible class as well. You're already here. And of course, if that happened, I'd have to teach Bible class in the sanctuary, which, by the way, is exactly what I'm going to do starting September 9th. I mean, just think of it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have 100 plus adults growing in God's Word during Bible class every Sunday morning here at Concordia? Now, you might say, yeah, but like that's ever going to happen anywhere. Well, I admit it doesn't happen too often, sadly. But there is one example of it happening at one of our own Missouri Synod Lutheran churches right here in our circuit. St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks. They have half the size of membership we do, and yet they have often had over 100 adults in Bible class on Sunday morning. And you know what? That has been an awesome blessing for their congregation in many ways, as it will be for ours as well. So with that said, I hope to see many more of you in Bible class. Having said that, I would now like to talk about all the ways that God sends you out to be a witness for Him. Now immediately you might think, oh, I'm supposed to quit my job and move to Africa? No, no. God sends you out to be a witness for Him in the ordinary relationships you have in the various contexts of your life. So you can get ready to write down these places where God sends you out to be a witness. I have them as spaces on the sermon notes on the back of your bulletin. First, you are sent out in your family. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says that fathers should raise up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And since Luther understood that, in his small catechism, he began every section with these words, "As the head of the household should teach his family." Now, I know some fathers might say to me, "But Pastor, I don't know the Bible very well. How can I teach my kids the faith?" We've already heard that one. Well, my answer is, just read Luther's catechism with them. Say simple prayers with them. You can use the portals of prayer. It's not that hard. But if you want to be able to give them more knowledge, well, then come to the Bible classes I offer, and I would be glad to share with you what you can then pass on to them. Now, of course, some homes don't have a father to teach God's Word to the family. Maybe the father is dead, or maybe he's not around, or maybe he's not even a Christian. And that's when the mother has to take over and do it herself, and that can be a hard job. Of course, it's also hard for fathers who are doing it alone if they don't have the support of a godly wife. But then there are the single parents. They especially need our love and encouragement and support. But even our single parents can be faithful witnesses to their children at home if we are there to back them up and encourage them. Finally, though, it's not just fathers and mothers who get to share God's Word in the family. The entire Christian family should strive to build up one another in God's Word. So whether you're a father or a mother or a wife or a husband or a grandfather or a grandmother or a daughter or a son or a sister or a brother, God wants you to speak His truth in love with the members of your family. He wants you to be missionaries to one another. And that's why having family devotions and times of prayer during the week is so important. Now, with that said, the second area that Jesus sends you out is in your neighborhood. And of course, that leads to some questions. Do you know your neighbors? Do you show them love and kindness when you have an opportunity? Do you pray that God might give you an open door to share the gospel with them? You know, Andre and I do our best to get to know our neighbors, although I admit we could do a whole lot better. And thanks be to God, in spite of ourselves, He has given us some opportunities to meet some of our neighbors and, on a few occasions, even witness to them when we've had an opportunity to build a relationship. And you know what? You can do the same as you take time to get to know your neighbors, and then as God opens a door, to speak His truth in love to them. Now, the third place that God sends you out is either at work or at school. That's the third place, either work or school. So adults, ask yourself, are there people at your place of employment that need to hear about Jesus? I bet there are. So then pray that God would give you an opportunity to build some relationships with these people, and then, when there's an open door, to share God's Word with them. What a way to be an evangelist. What a way to get the Word out into places that I probably will never get to. And then students. I'm talking from kindergarten all the way up to college. God also sends you out to be a witness at school. You know, many of your fellow students out there need to hear about Jesus too, especially at the college level where so many things challenge the Christian faith nowadays. So Christian students, pray that God would give you opportunities to build relationships with your fellow students so that you can speak the truth in love to them. Now the fourth place that God sends you out is in our community. So whether we're involved in social events or sporting events or other events and organizations, these are all wonderful opportunities for us to bump elbows with people and hopefully witness to them. In fact, did you know that something as simple as saying a family prayer before lunch or dinner at a public restaurant, something as simple as that can open the door for you to be a witness? That's happened to Andre and me over the years. We offer a simple prayer with our family at a public restaurant, either in the community or on vacation, and next thing you know, someone's coming up and saying, "Hey, I noticed you said a prayer. I have a question. Or could I talk to you for a second?" In fact, Jesus also wants our congregation to be involved in our community. And praise the Lord, we're already doing that as a witness with such things as my His Word is Truth article in the paper, the Christ the Way radio program, the good news magazines we have here that have gotten to the hands of people in our community. And of course, there's our Thanksgiving dinner that we do every year. Not only does that show our community that we care, but as these people come into our church, we have a chance hopefully to witness to them, or at least they can get some of our Christian literature. And I hope we can do many more things like this in the future so that we can find ways to bring the Word of God into our community. And finally, God sends us out to be a witness right here at our church. That's right, we're not only called to speak the Word of God to the people who don't know Jesus, we're also called to speak the Word of God to the people who do know Jesus. We're called to build each other up in the faith. So we're witnesses right here at Concordia as we speak God's Word to each other during services in Bible class or in just personal conversation. We also are called to serve our fellow members who are in need. And most of all, we should ask God to help us to have the courage and the desire to reach out to our fellow members who haven't been to church for a long time so that we can lovingly remind them that they need to be here with us to hear God's Word. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I have shared with you five areas where Jesus sends you out to be His witnesses. And I promise you that as you live for Jesus in this world, others will notice, and God will give you a chance to speak His Word to them. Sometimes they may listen, other times they may ignore you, other times they might throw it back in your face. Obviously, Stephen's witness was not received with a whole lot of joy. But you see, it's not up to us to control how people respond. It's simply up to us to speak the truth in love and let the Holy Spirit do His work. Now, having said all of that, I would now like to respond to that first excuse we often use as to why we can't be a witness for Jesus. And here it is again. Pastor, I'm a sinner. I don't always live like a Christian. You should see how it goes at our home during the week. In fact, sometimes I'm a bad example. How can God use me to be a witness? Well, here's my answer. Join the club. I have a newsflash for you. Your pastor is a sinner too. I don't live a holy life perfectly either. But God still uses me. And He can use you too. In fact, let me give you a brief example. One time Peter was fishing with the other disciples. They had caught no fish. So Jesus tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. Well, Peter, being an experienced fisherman, thinks, oh boy, what's this guy thinking? But reluctantly, he obeys Jesus, and you know what happens. They catch more fish than they can handle. Well, when this happens, Peter is convicted. Not only does he realize that he had doubted Jesus, but suddenly it dawns on him that this is the very Son of God. He knows all things. That means He knows every sin he's ever committed or ever will commit. He knows every evil thought going through his mind. So Peter is just devastated with guilt and shame. Now at this point, Jesus stands in front of Peter and they have the following conversation. In Luke chapter 5, we read, Simon Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Did you hear what happened? Jesus didn't even mention Peter's countless sins. You see, Jesus knew that he was going to die on that cross for Peter's sins and also die on that cross for your sins. That's why Jesus told Peter to not be afraid. In other words, Peter's sins were forgiven. And in the same way, your many sins are completely forgiven. Then Jesus said that Peter would catch men. In other words, Jesus would send Peter out to be a witness. And guess what? The same Jesus will send you out to be a witness, sinner though you are. You see, what we need to understand is that the Christian message is not about us and how good we are. The Christian message is about Jesus and how merciful He is to sinners like us who so desperately need His salvation. My friends, I thank God that He has sent me to be your pastor. And I get excited when I realize that God has sent me to feed you with His Word, which will not only strengthen your own faith, but will also equip you to be a faithful witness for Him as He sends you out into all those areas we discussed already. My friends, what a wonderful privilege it is for us to be God's witnesses in this corner of His kingdom. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, the goal of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Ablaze movement is that we speak the gospel of Christ to 100 million people. That seems like an insurmountable goal. But you know, that goal simply starts right here at Concordia. In fact, it just starts with you. Jesus sends you out to be a loving witness to others. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.